Today on the podcast, I'll be discussing Steve Kerr's comments about Anthony Davis and why the media is misinterpreting his statement. Next, Melvin Gordon. If a deal isn't reach of a trade or a new contract, he shouldn't sit out a year just like Le'Veon Bell. And finally, MLB games early slate, helping you build your FanDuel lineup. Let's get it, baby! Yes, sir. We are live. Welcome back to Garrett Bears Fantasy Sports Podcast. Steve Kerr making a lot of people salty. Comments yesterday about Anthony Davis saying you shouldn't leave while you're under contract. You should be committed to that team once you sign a dotted line. Well, Steve Perkins didn't like it. Perkins coming out yesterday saying, Steve, you're the last person talking. Should be the last person talking. You literally created a super team, and you're already 73-9 before that super team was created. Quote, unquote. He says, Steve got his goddamn nerve talking about anything that's going on with the organization. As he didn't get Kevin Durant to join a 73-9 team. By the way, Steve Kerr, Mark Jackson built that dynasty in Golden State. The nerve of him. The nerve of you, Steve. I think it's just misinterpreted. Steve coming out knew it would be a media blowout. Twisting his words around what the actual meaning of his words was. I see exactly what Steve was trying to say. And I see what Perkins is trying to say. What Steve is trying to say first is once you sign that dotted line contract, you're going to play for X, Y, and Z for how many years? You should be committed to those years and not worry about any other team except for that team. The only time you should be worried about another team is when you're playing against them. What Anthony Davis did was pretty much quit on his team mid-season. Sit out until he was traded to the team that he wants to go to. Alvin Gentry defined that as a dumpster fire because the whole situation was literally and figuratively a dumpster fire. GM got fired because of it. It was just a whole mess. Now they have Zion, David Griffin to lead the franchise, and they're in great hands now. But Anthony Davis didn't see that. He wanted to go to Los Angeles. He didn't look at the bigger picture. He didn't say, hey, I'm with this team. I signed for X, Y years. I got to be committed to them. He said, I want to get traded. I want to go to the Lakers. That didn't happen. He sat out. So now he's with the Lakers. And he got what he wanted eventually. And then Steve is saying that should not be allowed. That's bad for the lead. That's no loyalty. You know, Perkins is looking at it as in he's saying that tampering should be allowed, that players shouldn't be able to cooperate or talk with each other or have leeway where they want to go, where they want to play. A la Kevin Durant leaving OKC to go Golden State after OKC was up 3-1 against Golden State and eventually losing to them, which then created a super team. Which then created a whole bunch of other mess after that. So he's saying, Perk is saying, okay, Steve, well, look at that. Why don't you talk about that? Talk about Kevin Durant quitting on his team and joining your team. Well, that's a different situation. First, Kevin Durant is a free agent. He wasn't under contract. Did he quit on his team? Sure, yeah. He left the team. But he was under contract. So that's a different situation. Can't really compare those two. I see what both sides are saying, like I said, though. But Steve in the situation was just trying to say, hey, it's bad for a league with players that's under current contract to decide they want to not be with that team no longer. At least publicly. And it just got twisted and twisted by the media. And they're just eating this thing up. Just eating it up. Steve is a great coach. He has some Greg Popovich in him. A little bit of Phil Jackson philosophy-wise, meaning his comments definitely stir up the media the way he wanted to, intentionally or unintentionally. And this situation, I just think is way blown out of proportion. It just shouldn't be this much of a big deal. I mean, yeah, he is talking about another player that's not on his team. So who is he to say, hey, you're bad for the league? But is he wrong? No. He has every right to be just outraged about that. I mean, first and foremost, they're in the Western Conference. So, of course, he's not going to root for it. Unless it was his team. That's when the comments will even come out. He'll be very quiet about that. Yeah. He'll be very silent. He won't be talking about this today. Guarantee you that. But, you know, both sides are definitely just, you know, have their good points. It's just Steve, what he meant to say and his own meaning wasn't the way what Kendrick Perkins took as. So you just got to really listen sometimes and just not attack. Moving on now, Melvin Gordon, kind of similar situation. He's under contract with the San Diego. Oh, wow. San Diego. I keep saying San Diego, bro. It's going to take some while. It's going to take a while saying Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Rams is clicking more than St. Louis Rams for sure. I mean, St. Louis Rams is kind of irrelevant in my era. But Los Angeles Chargers and Melvin Gordon are in a standoff right now, contract-wise. He wants more money. Who doesn't? In this case, he does deserve it for sure. But track record shows that he won't win it. A la Le'Veon Bell, a la Earl Thomas. By the way, Earl Thomas last year got hurt while he tried to sit out training camp. He said, you know what? I ain't going to miss out a whole year of football. I'll give this thing a try. And next thing you know, he got hurt that season. Gave Pete Carroll the dirty bird. And every reason to. Every single reason to. I feel like they definitely screwed up that whole situation with the whole Lob, Legion of Boom, Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. I feel like they didn't give him as much credit as they needed. They are treating Russell Wilson right, though. I'll tell you that. Much deserved, by the way. Anyway, Melvin Gordon wants more money. Sitting out until he gets the more money. I think if he doesn't get traded, don't sit out. You don't want to miss a whole year of football. Okay, Le'Veon Bell was the first person that really sat out during training camp and sat out for the whole season. Didn't show up at all. Just was a no-show. Whole entire season. For that position, that's a lot on your body, believe it or not. The adjustment, once you get pounded for all those years, you decide to sit out a whole year of no physical activities at all. Meaning, from others. Of course, you work out and all that stuff, but you get no physical contact from others at all for a whole year. And then you decide to come back after that year and you're getting pounded by a 200, 300 pound man almost every possession. That's going to be a lot on your body, a lot to adjust to. And not to mention, you have to run and get pounded. So your knees are getting pounded no matter what, if you get hit or not. It's just a lot on your body. And I think with Melvin Gordon being a big guy and the injuries that he already had, sitting out for that whole year would not help him at all. It would decline him a lot. So the best situation, if he doesn't get traded after training camp or during the season, show up when you have to show up before that deadline comes where you can't show up at all. Don't be a Le'Veon Bell in this situation. Not everybody could be that guy. And who knows what Le'Veon Bell would do this year. This is his first true year after sitting out last year. So who knows if he's going to decline, you know. Jets O-line, too. I don't know if their guy got any better or not. Who knows? Shoot. Who knows, man? So my best advice, Melvin Gordon, I hope that he does get traded because it's going to be hard for him to show up with him not getting the money that he wanted and, you know, fall out. That could be his edge. You didn't get the money you wanted? Well, show them why you got to get the money. Show them why they should give you the money that you wanted. Give him a reason why. If he does get traded, that's the best case scenario for both teams, both sides, Chargers and Melvin Gordon. At least the Chargers get something in return rather than Melvin Gordon just leaving. So for both sides, it'll be great for them to get traded. For Melvin Gordon's situation, one, of course, one, first and foremost, you want to worry about if you're going to get the extension or not. If you don't, secondly, try to get a trade. And thirdly, if you can't get those two things, just ball out this year and show them the reason why they should extend you. And then once you're a free agent, boy, those teams will be reaching out to you. And those prices will be going up. Like Jalen Ramsey says, they're going to be asking for a discount. Nope, no 20% off. Nope, no 15% off. It's going to be ungodly, bro. That boy said ungodly, bro. Hey, just show them the reason why they should give you your money. Nextly, we're going on to MLB. Two games today. Early slate starting at 12:10. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Awesome. I made my lineup. I got Jacob DeGrom as my pitcher, by the way. I should tell you the two teams that's playing first, huh? San Diego versus the Mets. First game. I love it when, by the way, I love it when it's just a small slate. It just gets me so excited because the ball is jumping. So it's a lot more home runs. People that you don't even expect will get home runs. And with it being a smaller slate, it limits the amount of home runs from random people, pretty much. And the people that is supposed to get home runs actually gets the home runs and balls out without the people that's not supposed to get home runs canceling out the people that does supposed to get the home runs. You feel me? So it makes it easier in simple words. By the way, the ball is definitely juice. They put something in the balls. It was a steroid era, and now it's with people, by the way. They put steroids in the people. Now you can't do that. They put the steroids in the ball or something. That ball is jumping. Yesterday, Minnesota versus the Yankees. I've never seen that type of – when the ball gets struck, it's going to be a home run. And that was crazy to see. I couldn't even imagine how it is in person. Because some balls doesn't look like it should be a home run. You have some players that reaches out for balls rather than stand back in their stance, and that ball is flying. And I'm just like, bruh, it's just unreal. The commissioner says he has no clue what they put in the balls, but he does acknowledge that there is a difference in the balls, and he will try to get an investigation going. First of all, that's BS because he owns the company. Well, MLB owns the company of the ball makers, the manufacturers who makes the balls. They paid them millions of dollars to do it. And just like Justin Verlander says, man, who pays a company that you pretty much own, but you don't know what they put inside your product? Doesn't make much sense. There's a whole bunch of BS that the commissioner is saying. I mean, it's not bad for the game at all. Don't get me wrong. People love home runs. That's the best part about the game is home runs. The highlight of the season so far was the home run derby. It was a great home run derby. Vladdy versus Pete. Vladdy in general, just seeing him hit the ball was, whew, it was awesome. Every single, he had 91 home runs in the home run derby. And every single ball was the fuck, it was amazing. It was awesome. So, anyway, the balls are jumping and they're on pace to just shatter the home run record ever. Best home run season or most home run season ever. They already shattered halfway point. Now they're going towards the full season. Two games, like I said, San Diego Padres versus the Mets, and then St. Louis versus the Pirates. By the way, the Pirates got whooped on by St. Louis yesterday. St. Louis scored 14 runs on them. 14 runs on their ass. First game, 12-10. Padres versus Mets. I got Jacob DeGrom as my pitcher. 10,900. You will say this is a down year for Jacob DeGrom. You expect him to have better numbers. This year he has a 3.02 ERA with 154 strikeouts and 122 innings pitched, a 1.11 whip, and a 5-7 win-loss ratio. And, that's not his numbers that you expect Jacob DeGrom to have at this point in the season, but it's not bad. It's definitely above average. And if he was on a better team than the Mets, his win-loss ratio would be a lot more than 5 wins. His win ratio would be a lot more than 5 wins. Guarantee you that. But you're going against the Padres, a mostly righty team. They only have 2 lefties, not including a pitcher, in their whole lineup. And he's going to feast on those righties. Nextly, we have the first baseman, Pete Alonso, going against lefty Eric Lauer. Pete Alonso has a lot of power. He's a hitting machine. And book him in, especially for the small slate. You don't want to miss out on a guy like this. Second baseman, Adam Frazier, 2,800. Book him in. You can also book in Robinson Cano if you want to risk it. But Robinson Cano came off a 3-run home run game 2 games ago. He followed that next game up with 3.5 points, only a sacrifice fly, but you know, he's one of those players that's be random as hell and decides, I'm going to ball out. I mean, they pay him that much money. So, Mets just pretty much throwing money out there now. We'll see. If you want, I'm not going to risk Robinson Cano at all. He's going against a lefty. So, that's lefty on lefty crime right there. I don't like it. So, I'm going with Adam Frazier, like I said, lefty versus righty. Adam Frazier is a great hitter. Good hitting weather in Pittsburgh. Next, you have J.D. Martin or J.D. Davis at third baseman. I have him, 2,500. Going against Eric Lauer again, lefty. Power hitter. And when he's actually in the lineup, he will get you at least 3 to 6 points. And that's good for his price. And don't forget, he's a power hitter, like I said. So he will. There's no less chance that he get a home run. There's a good chance that he will hit a home run. He hasn't played that much because he's right behind Todd Frazier. And they're splitting time some days. Some days Todd get off because of age. But today they're both in the lineup. JD is just higher. He's number 2. Todd's number 6. And Todd's $400 more salary-wise on FanDuel. So I will bet on JD for sure. For one, he's cheaper. You can get the same amount of points as Todd. Better hitter. And he's in the number 2 hole. Amet Rosario leading off for the Mets. Do you get the trend here? The Met hitters today, by the way? Going against lefty? Yeah. I'm going with the Mets today. I mean, it's one of those teams that can just turn up for no reason. And one of those games that will happen today. Being at home as well. Amet Rosario leading off 3,200. My shortstop. By the way, the Padres are falling off a little bit. 48-53. Don't think they're going to make a wild card. A lot of games to go, so you never know. But they're falling off too much to me. Outfielder spots, we got Brian Reynolds. Great hitter, power hitter. Great farming system guy going on in Pittsburgh. He's 2,900. Came from AAA this year. Got pulled up, and he's showing out now. He's 328, 7 home runs, 39 RBIs, 42 runs, and 1 stolen base. He's a switch hitter. So that's great because even they take the righty out, he go to the lefty. They go to the lefty. Guess what? He's going to his right side. It's 2-hole now. Usually he's in the 2-hole. High up in the lineup. A lot of at-bats for him today. Starling Marte, 3,900. Highest guy on my team right now other than P. Alonso and Jacob DeGrom. But like a small slate, you don't want to miss out guys like this. They're going to get you your points, especially a game like this against St. Louis. Book him in, Starling Marte. Last guy, utility spot, Tommy Edman. He's replacing Matt Carpenter, but he's a great hitter. Small guy, but a lot of power in him. Great hitter, stays in that box well, and he's leading off for St. Louis Cardinals. I wanted to say the St. Louis Rams. For the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's my team for today, 12:10 p.m., two games. Later on, we got eight games. Let me count. Actually, I think it's six games. Six games for a late slate. We got the Yankees versus Boston. That's going to be a fun one. Minnesota versus White Sox. Cleveland versus Kansas. Texas versus Oakland. Baltimore versus Angels. And Detroit versus Seattle. Only six games. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. It's going to be presented by Roto Grinders. I'm doing a $10 entry. First place could be $2,000. And it is up for grabs for today with it being a small slate. But shoot, that doesn't mean it's going to be not. That does not mean that there's not going to be a lot of home runs hit today. Extra juicy balls. But that will do it for today's show, guys. I'm not going to do the later slates because I have not made that team. I did make my entry, though. But I have not made my final team for the 7:10 p.m. slate, which is the main slate. But I have given you my 12:10 p.m. slate early. Use it as you please. And I wish you the best of luck. Have a blessed week. And thank you for listening.